Okay, I'm actually excited about doing the share even more than a regular share because this is the first time I think I'm doing a share with my wife sitting next to me. So I'm particularly excited about it. When we were talking about preparing for Pesach, so we were talking about it, that my dear wife, who's done a fantastic job, all the psachim that we've had over the years, I brought to the table the Masorah that I had from my Rabbeim, the years that the Torah is mechayev me to sit and learn. Men have the responsibility to toil in Torah and to be mekabel the Masorah from their Rabbeim. But a house is incomplete without the Bina Yisera of one's wife. So if the man brings the Chachma, there's of course three stages. There's Chachma, there's Bina, and then there's Das. And the man could never have that Bina Yisera. And so to reach the place of Das, you need both the Chachma and Bina to come together. So I figured I would give you a little bit of a background of what is, I think, some important pieces of Chachma that relate to V'higadeta levincha, the mitzvah that mother and father have to give to their children. And I would supply the information that I was mekabel from my rabbeim, but my wife would add that those things are very, very important practically in terms of taking those ideas and how do they play out in the Seder. Ready to start? Okay. All right. I want to share with you something that I think is worth $1 million and much more. I'm going to share with you, this is amazing, just speaking about Masorah, I'm going to share with you what I heard from my Rebbe, who just passed away a month ago, Reb Braunschweigel Zatzal, and Yibodeh L'chaim, I heard this from Reb Schefter as well, that they heard from their Rabbeim, going back to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Talmud after Talmud, how Reb Chaim Soloveitchik started his Seder. The way he started his Seder is with a question. The answer to this question is going to structure everything that we're going to discuss in Mirtz Hashem tonight. And the question is a very fundamental, it's a straightforward question, it's not a complicated question, but it's a deep question and a very, very important question about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Here goes. So this Reb Chaim started, just to track the Masorah, I heard from Reb Ranchu Reb Schefter, who heard it from Soloveitchik, who heard it from Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, who was at, of course, his father, Reb Chaim Seder. And he would start with the following question. There is a mitzvah every night to say Kriya Shema. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema has two parts to it. One part is Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim, and the other part is, at the end of Kriya Shema, we mention Zefiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we say Kriya Shema, we being men who are mechuyev mitzvahs asei shehazman grama, we say Kriya Shema twice every day. And Reb Chaim asked a very, very, very basic question. What's the difference between the mitzvah of telling over the story of our Exodus, what's the difference between that and the mitzvah that we have every day and every night of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the difference between those two mitzvahs? And Reb Chaim felt strongly it wasn't that just on the night of Pesach you have Mahadrin. In other words, you do it more. B'chol Amarbe, just you do it more. But it's really the same mitzvah. No. Reb Chaim pointed out that, by the way, this question was asked by the Minchas Chinuch, and Reb Chaim opened up the Rambam, and he pointed out that if you read the Rambam carefully, there are a few fundamental differences, and that's how we're going to frame everything that we're going to discuss tonight in terms of the mitzvah preparing for the night of Pesach with our children. The Rambam begins the seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Mitzvah saseh shel Torah l'saper b'nisim v'niflaos. It's a mitzvah to tell over the miracles that happened to us. And then the Rambam in Halacha Beis says the following. Mitzvah la'odia lebanim v'afilu lo sho'alu shenemar v'hagadita levincha. Levi daito shel av shel ben aviv melamdo. The Rambam says that there needs to be a dialectic between the parents and the children. The first difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is a statement. It's a proclamation of emunah. We proclaim our belief as a statement. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I can't finish because I haven't done Ma'ariv yet. But which concludes, Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. So we have a proclamation that we have every night and every morning, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the night of Pesach, it's not a proclamation. I think the best word is a dialectic. It's a discussion.
A dialogue.
It's a dialogue between father and son, mother and daughter, mother and son, and father and daughter. It is a discussion. What's the proof? Who could give me a proof of that, that it has to be a discussion from the Haggadah itself? What's the proof? Manishtana, exactly. In fact, Magid starts with questions. And this is where I'm sure you've heard in school, hopefully you heard this in high school, that we're not afraid of questions, and Judaism believes in questions. The prototypical example of that, obviously it depends on what happens, how they react to your questions. It's not enough to say we believe in questions. It's how they react to the questions when the children and teenagers ask the question. So on the night of Pesach, the first thing is that it's done b'deref she'ela u'tshuva. And that's something that's really, 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 really important. And notice the language of the Rambam. Mitzvah la'udia lebonim. Lefi daito shel ben ovim melamdo. You might have something you might want to add to this. Lefi daito shel ben ovim melamdo. It's based on where the child is. In other words, it's important that the night of Pesach, that the father and the mother come to the children, Basher Husham, and that's of course the Arba Bonin that we have. Every single child is entitled to a place, and that means that every father and mother needs to think about children that already are at the stage to be able to process something intellectually, or for that matter, physically. Even if they haven't reached that stage of intellect, that is the first difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zefiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that means coming down to the children exactly on their level. Ma no'el misha omro, Reb Chaim of Brisk, they say a fascinating anecdote that has nothing to do with the night of Pesach. But Reb Chaim was someone who couldn't stand pomp and ceremony. He always enjoyed being with the simple people more than he enjoyed being with the aristocrats, to the point that he loved children. So they said one time Reb Chaim was walking down the street, and he saw that there were kids that were sitting around, but they looked a little crestfallen. They looked a little down. So Reb Chaim asked them why, and they weren't playing. So Reb Chaim asked them what's going on. So they said, we were playing a game, but the game stopped. So what happened? They said we were playing horse, see, and no one wanted to be the horse. There was one kid that was the horse, and everybody was. So Reb Chaim, legend has it, in his rabbinic garb, he offered to become the horse. I think it's an apocryphal story, but what's very, very, that story, when I heard it, really hit me very, very hard. The idea of coming down to children, pshuto k'mashmo. You know, for my older children, it was easier. I was younger. And so I would, but with my youngest child, so then I was already older. And I realized my mindset was no longer the same childish mindset. So when I would come home, I would force myself, after I heard Reb Chaim's story, to get on the floor to be with the children. And that becomes a mashal for the night of Pesach. We have to think how we could get on the floor to be with our children.
Right. So,
by the way, one point before the punchline of that story proves it's apocryphal, and then my wife's going to take over, is that the apocryphal story concludes... that afterwards, a couple hours later, somebody was walking down the street, and he saw that Reb Chaim was tied up against the tree, as the horse. They had tied the tree to the. That's how the story ends. Go ahead. What were you going
to
add?
Okay, so here, this is something that's lined off to this point, but I think in general, it does fit here. You are the parents of your children, so it's important for you to recognize and to feel confident that you can know what each of your children need. This is good. We'll bounce around a lot of different ideas and concepts and ways in which different people do. But I want you to tap into your own, like, talk about the Bina. You're the mother of your children. So you are the best ones to know what they need, what is the right thing. We can talk about ideas, but you know better than anybody else what your kids need and what each one of your kids need and how you can take the older kids to work with the younger kids. You know the dynamic, you know their strengths, you know their buttons, you know everything that there is to know about them. So just before you like, okay, I'm here and I'm going to learn and I'm going to get, know what it is that you like, just feel confident in your own ability to know what the right way to manage your Seder is and to give your kids what they need at this particular very important night.
Right. Well, think about the Haggadah and say, what is it in the Haggadah that will speak to this child? What could we do? And we're going to talk about a couple of things as we go on the Rambam that would be appropriate. That's the first difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam then goes on. What's amazing is that Reb Chaim pointed out that Rambam, in describing the mitzvah of Sipur, really described the differences. He says, the Rambam says, Vitzareth, by the way, one more point in difference number one. The Rambam, this was Halacha Beis, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Vitzareth laso shinui belayla hazeh kdei shiru habonim v'yishalu. Of course, we're familiar with this, the idea of doing things that are different and that are strange in order to get the children to ask. So the point is to do things that are proactive, that is going to draw the children's excitement or curiosity, is something that's appropriate. And anything goes. Anything that's going to involve them. For some people told me that they got toy frogs, and that excited kids. Know your children. And I think especially if there aren't a lot of parents and grandparents that are at the table, or a lot of extended elderly family, especially if you're with more of your nuclear family, you could be very, very creative with the children in a way that doesn't have to be. When I say creative, I don't mean creative like you tell somebody at the park the next day and they say, I can't believe it. That's like amazing. Like, what I mean by creative is being creative and thinking about what your children need. Yeah.
Speaking of, what do they do with the kids and know the story read?
Right.
They're older, they're in the week that last year we know.
Right. So I think that what we need to do is encourage them to think about certain ideas and see what they're going to. You're right. The same protocol is not going to get them to ask the same questions again. They know that. But to think about a couple of things that maybe would get them to be interested or intrigued, or something that intrigues you that you want to share with them that you think is likely to speak to them as well. And when it comes to the frogs, so then every year we're about to get to the props. Every year maybe spending a little bit of time thinking about what props would be appropriate. And that's the second difference. The second difference between Sipur and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is, that's the third difference, so we'll go out of order. The third difference in the Ramban is, and my Rebbe explained this in a beautiful, beautiful way, is kol mi shelo amar shlosha dvarim ha'elu b'leil chamisha asa lo yatsa de'efavasa. If we don't talk about Pesach, Matzah, Maror, so then we don't fulfill the Chiyuv. In other words, we have props. The Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror are the props that are used to precipitate discussion. And so therefore, it's not just the Pesach and Matzah Maror. Anything that could be used as something that gets the children to think about and to be involved, then that in itself becomes part of the night. So that's going to be the second. In the Rambam, it's actually the third. But that's going to be the second thing. So there are things that one could bring out. What we used to do is we used to act them out.
The kids, it was excellent, and this is where the older kids were able.
By the way, we failed many times too. Don't think that we were.
we're just only giving you the ones that worked,
not the things that didn't work.
Yeah, but especially when it came to the Makos, but at different, the kids would put on skits, and when my older kids were little, I was very active in helping them make the skits. As the kids got older, they did it themselves. As they got older, they helped the younger
Just to add to that, so there were times, let's say there were men or bachurim that were at the table, and we were talking about the Haggadah, and my wife went out with the kids, and they made a play. They dressed up into something. The funny thing was, my wife always ends up as Paro. That's the
nobody wanted to be Paro.
I'm always the good guy. She always ends up being the bad guy.
And in terms of the having the bachurim at the table, they would get involved also. Our Seder was really, this was something that the guys knew. If we were having guys at the Seder is for the children. It's directed for the children. It's not directed towards the guys who are coming as our guests. So there were times when they were, convinced to come and put on the little skits with them. And that was very exciting for them.
That's actually a very, very important point. If you decided, you and your husband have decided that we're going to do things that are a little bit more child-oriented, and there are going to be bachurim, adults, cousins, and so on, be frank with them. Tell them, this is what we've decided that we're going to do. This is what the Seder is. It might be a little bit different than it was in your house or something like that. And once people are prepared, then they get a sense. And people get into it. In other words, these skits are become very, very... can become very, very dramatic fun for the children. And by the way, if they run off after one, that's fine too. That's fine too. They Rebbetzin Nevensal just told me that she was very, very taken aback when she married. She's Reb Nevensal's second wife. She said that if her husband gathers together all the grandchildren that are there, and for 20 minutes he tells them at the beginning of the Seder, tells them the whole story, they don't even read the Haggadah. He just tells them the story, and then they run off for the next 2 hours. So, but for 20 minutes, he sits and he describes to them the story in simple, children-like storyline form, and that's it. So, of course, the kids are not going to sit through the whole thing, and there should be no expectation. What we want is that the Seder be something that would be memorable for them, and some years it'll be memorable in one way, and some ways it'll be memorable in another way. Yeah.
How about when it's not your seat? I felt it's easier if this was your nuclear family to control things well.
Yes.
Parents, in-laws, if they have their ways, and some people feel more strongly about them leading the Seder.
Yes, yes.
So how do you, and also sometimes even cousins can be a completely different age. And we just sort of say as much to you to choose when to, stop him. Yeah, let's do an acting skit now.
No, Audrey, you're right.
Yes, 100%. I think, though, you can still do an acting thing. You're just not presenting it to the entire Seder. Take it off to the side. It is harder when you're not controlling, because that's what we started with. You know what your kids need, and when you're not at liberty to do it the way that you want, it definitely adds a certain amount of challenge. But so just move it to the side. You don't have to, your expectation needs to be different when it's not your own. Because, there's just a completely different feel.
The last difference, which is the Rambam's second difference, which is fundamentally different between the statement of Amun of Zakaris Yitzis Mitzrayim, and you all know this from the Haggadah, but you might not have put it in this type of way. Of course, the Haggadah starts off with Arami Oved Avi. We tell the whole story. And it's Chazal's way of describing Saras LaHaskel B'Gnus V'Sayi B'Shevach. We start with our low points, and we build up. And there are two different opinions in the Gemara, whether we start from Lavan or we start with the Gnus in Mitzrayim. Then Mitzrayim, we were in the Memteh Shari Toma. I think, by the way, that point, that Pesach is all about the idea that no matter where a person is, they could always come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was such a beautiful point and such an important point for us to share with our children. One of the most amazing things about Yadus is that no one is irredeemable. And that's what Yitzhak Mitzrayim is all about. And in Kabbalah and Hasidus, that's the whole thing. That the idea that we were B'memteh Shari Tuma, and that a person could become great no matter how far they are. That no one is irredeemable. Sarif LaHaskel B'gnus the sign of the Shevach. So either it starts off that we had an uncle Lavan, that look what type of house Rivka grew up in, and nevertheless see who she became, and that's how we start. Arami Oved Avi, that our great 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 grandfather was one of one of the most treacherous people around. And we start with that. So that's the simple pshat. But there's a deeper pshat, my Rebbe said, which is something that's extremely, extremely profound. And there are some speakers, some great speakers today, if you think about it, have zeroed in on this and really picked up on this point. And that is the most powerful part of relaying Jewish survival is through story. Through story. And lahasul b'gnus v'sayin b'shevach, what we're doing on Pesach is we're saying the story of the Jewish people. We are sharing the story, and the story of the Jewish people is your story too, is your family's story, is your story of lahasul b'gnus v'sayin b'shevach. If some of us here are so thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if not for this teacher or not for this circumstance or not for this or not for that, we might have been in a very, very, very different place. We might have been sitting, not with Avir D'Eretz Yisrael. We might have been sitting in a very, very different place. Or the story of your family's survival, all of this becomes part of the story of the night of Pesach. That is the Lahaskel B'Gnus V'Sayim B'Shevach. So these are very powerful tools that Chazal were putting into the Agada. As Mrs. Newman said, what happens is people, if we don't refresh ourselves, if we don't sit down, if we don't have a Masorah from Reb Chaim exactly, what is the difference between Sipur and Zechira? So what happens is the Agada repeats itself. It's the same old Agada, the same old things that's supposed to initiate the same old questions. But Reb Chaim told us, no, there's a fundamental difference between Sipur and Zechira, and these are the three differences again. The first is that it's a discussion with the children. Number one, it's a give and take, shelo tshuva, and we relate to a child. By the way, chas v'chalila, what happens if someone's alone and there's no one with them on the night of Pesach? How do they do the Agada? They ask themselves the questions. They ask themselves the questions. Why? Because every single one of us is a child on the night of Pesach. Every single one of us is supposed to ask questions. If you have tough questions that have been bothering you, maybe after kids go to sleep, you ask your husband. And if your husband has things that have been weighing on him, he asks you. There's that process of she'elo tshuva. We engage ad hasof b'she'elo u'tshuva. That's again, reviewing, that's the first distinction. The Rambam's third distinction was the props. And the second distinction is the story. Now, the props also include the following, and then I'll take a couple of questions. The props also include something beautiful. As some of you might be familiar, Chazal say, Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo Kilu Hu Yotza Mimitzrayim, that a person is supposed to visualize themselves as if they went down Mitzrayim. The Rambam writes, Chayiv Adam Leharos Es Atzmo, that they're supposed to show themselves that went down Mitzrayim. So my family is pure Polish Jews. In fact, all of my great-grandparents came from about the exact same 50-mile area in Poland. Everybody's from the exact same spot. When my father, Harin Kaparis Meshkovo, dated my mother, the first phone call, my father asked my mother where she was from. My mother said, there's no way you'll know where I'm from. And my mother said, hey, my father said, tell me anyhow. She said, I'm from Malava. My mother was born in Poland. My father said, I'm from Malava. My parents said that at that moment it was already a done deal. It was like,
he was from Malava, but he was born in Canada.
Canada, but he still felt that by the way, that was his parents' koach of giving over the story of the Jewish people. So we're Ashkenazi, Polish Ashkenazi through and through out of self. So if you wonder why we pronounce in the shul Ashkenazis, it's because my tradition is entirely Ashkenazis, ad hasof. So, and there are beautiful Sephardic shuls in the neighborhood. There's everything you need. So in the Polish community, the tradition is Liros Esatzol. The Rambam writes Chayv Adam Leharos Esatzol, that a person is supposed to show themselves. So you might be familiar that the Teimanim, actually what they do is they put the matzah on their back, And they walk out as if they're going out of Mitzrayim. So I took that. We took that in Taras Seder because I realized that's just so difficult for the kids just to be sitting out around for such a long time. And so we take the matzah, and we put it on our backs at a certain time in the Seder. The song, the first year I decided to do it was Avram Fried's song, Uvnei Yisrael Yotzin B'yad Ramon Neleth Bin Reino Viskeinenu. We sing that song, and then in the old days, my wife was Paro, and she would sort of melt into the into the Yamsuf. So that would be that is those props. That's part of Chayv Adam Laharos Hatzvo. So you yourself could be acting that part out. Before I take the questions, I want to say one more point, which is also appropriate to my Rebbe's memory. My Rebbe Braunschweigel told us that this Yisod that Reb Chaim said at his Seder over 100 years ago, that he was Mekabel from his Rebbeim, that I'm now sharing with you, was actually the subject of his master's thesis in Bernard Rehow Graduate School, where he was, my Rebbe was one of the greatest educators I ever knew. And his master's thesis was that Jewish education really looks to the night of Seder for its paradigm. And the three most important things in Jewish education in terms of presenting Torah to children is it can't be preachy. It has to be derech sheilu tshuva. You have to come to the child where they are, number one. Number two is that it has to be done in an active way that engages the children with props. The Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror become the props itself. And don't estimate the power of stories. I don't know if my Rebbe said it this way, but the most powerful thing you could give your child and you can give your students is to bring them into the story of the Jewish people. That's the most powerful thing. In other words, the Haggadah now becomes the story of their lives, their Masorah. I'm looking around. I know the history of some of the families over here. Some families, I know their history from survival from the Holocaust and so on. That is all a chelek of Yetzias Mitzrayim. All of that is a chelek of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that my Rebbe said that's the key to Jewish education is to make a child feel that they're part of the Masorah, they're part of the story of Yadus. Okay, questions? Yeah.
Obviously, today then has been about to lament and kind of kids inspired. Are we supposed to have any expectation of getting ourselves inspired? Because then you can sometimes walk out, and obviously it's amazing to see your kids inspired and enjoying, and there's something really special to take away from that. But you do sometimes come out of these like children-friendly gear things a little bit like dreaming, like, did I get any meaning out of the Haggadah on my level? Especially when you've got your own parents and you're kind of the child of them. It's just like a funny one of like, so, what expectations should be out of the state of yourself.
Right. There's a lot of dynamics. I'll just add one piece and then want to start. Maybe go ahead and holler.
I think the first thing is that at every age and every stage where you are, it's going to be different. And when your kids are very little, especially when you are, kind of ping-ponging between your parents and your children, when you have really little ones, it's just like every other. I mean, it's a greater discussion that we've had many times about just being inspired, and that's what you're doing in that moment is you're doing your job of giving over to your children, and there are going to be years that you're less inspired as for you individually, and that's fine. And gamze avar, there'll be times where. Your kids are going to get older. And when the kids are a little bit more school age and then preteen, and there's a lot more that can be done, and you personally will benefit from it as well. So at the stage where, your children are, it's very tough.
It is tough. Maybe a couple of pieces of that I think might be helpful. First of all, I learned from my brother, who's a very special Talmud Chacham, I think it was when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, he requested that my father stop right before we sing Hallel and we make the bracha on the coast. And my brother asked my father that to stop for 2 minutes. In those 2 minutes, I copied my brother. And in those 2 minutes, we sit at a Seder entirely silent. Each person try to visualize themselves Now, with the little kids, the little kids might interrupt.
And they'll giggle, and they'll feel weird, and they'll feel awkward. They'll say, what's going on?
But they'll remember it when they're in 10, 15 years from now. It might be weird for them now. So that's an Eitzah, just to a moment of silence. The moment of silence where everybody closes their eyes and visualizes themselves as if, pshuto kimashmo, that's the mitzvah. If you read the Rambam, after he says these three things about the difference of Sipur and Zechira that we just described, then the Rambam says, and the person is supposed to visualize themselves as if they went Amitzrayim. In other words, the goal of all these things, as the premise of the question, is to bring you to the place of Liros es Atzvo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. So take some time and do that. That's Aleph. Secondly, I know this is a little bit hard. Kal v'chomer, for women who are preparing for Pesach, it is that much more difficult. But if you read Shulchan Aruch carefully, you'll see that really the night of Pesach has two parts to it. It's before Chatzos and after Chatzos. After Chatzos, there still is, an even though the mitzvah to eat the matzah and to say the Haggadah, and according to the Rab, even to do Hallel is done, but we're supposed to be osek in the inyan of Pesach until we fall asleep. So it could be, if the kids go to sleep at 10, 11 o'clock, it could very well be at a later point that night, if you were zochet to have a nap that day. I give you a bracha that you'll be able to have.
I want to talk about that.
Okay. but that's another time. Finally, I think there's one other thing, and that is that the night of Pesach is not the only part of Pesach, and that is that if you're able to go to shul and join in the beautiful hallel that we have in the Beis Medrash, if you're able to find, it's the entire Pesach where you could experience your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so there are different times, and every woman should find her different spots that she could. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to share, for some of you, it may sound crazy and impossible. When it comes to the morning of Pesach, and this is, again, directing to when the kids go to sleep, where am I? Am I a shmata at the end of the day? And I'm just falling asleep in the bed with them, which may happen, and that's okay, and that's also the stage appropriate. But something that I found incredibly helpful is when it comes to the day of Erev Pesach, like, I leave minimal work to do. Like, I put nothing on my schedule. There's always something. So nothing is never nothing. But
your husband's always going to come in and say, what about this? And yeah, ask you to do that. And then the kids are going to do. That always happens.
Something that my in my home growing up, my father always graded the maror as close to Yantif as possible, or as close to Seder as possible sometimes. They would do it by hand. And in order to keep it as sharp as possible, and my husband and I actually discussed it, and he's like, also, he would like to do it. And I said, you know what? I want to do it in advance because this is one more thing that I can cut out, and then I lie down. I get myself a nap, and it's everybody knows. It happens all the time. And the only way that I'm able to do it is because I put absolute minimal things on my list of things to do. Everything else, the deadline is as if Seder is tonight, the night before. The table is set the night before. All the food is cooked. The only thing that I do leave, I do leave the kava. Well, yeah, the roasting and that. Yeah, the truth is not even everything. The charoses is done the night before. I do wash the lettuce the day of because, you know, I'm on it too old. So there are like things that you cannot do or in advance, but that's it. That's all there is. So that gives that. And I did this when my kids were babies. I did this when my kids were toddlers. I did it throughout the entire. It's easy for me to say now because it's much more doable. When your baby is 14 years old, there's a lot of things you can do when you weren't able, you know, that you weren't able to do before. But even then, I was able to do it. So if that gives anybody. And then, so when the kids fall asleep at 10 o'clock, yeah, you're tired, but you've gotten something in. And you have a little bit more left inside of you to be able to bring it back to yourself.
I would just add something that needs to be emphasized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us the way we are on the night of Pesach, however Erev Pesach goes and however Erev Pesach goes. My wife and I are just sharing Eitzah Tovos that worked sometimes for us. didn't work all the time.
And also,
sometimes.
And it works for a personality like me.
Right.
I understand that not everybody has that.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us the way we are. And of course, the night of Pesach is a time for tefillah. And it could very well be that if you the only thing you get in the night of Pesach is a one sentence tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's going to be very, very dear to him as well. So it's a tremendous Eis Ratzon no matter what's going on. It's an Eis Ratzon if things went smoothly, and it's an Eis Ratzon if Chas V'Chalila things didn't go smoothly. So I think that's something to emphasize. And finally, I think this. I want to come back to a very, very basic idea that you've all heard before, and this is actually the tough answer, which I think has our shul name is Mevak She'emes. I think that it's MS, even though it's a little bit tough, and that is that Yadus is not about rights. Yadus is about responsibilities, and we have different responsibilities at different stages of our lives, and it could very well be at this stage of a parent's life now the way in which we're supposed to see ourselves going out of Mitzrayim is with our focus on the children, even though it's not going to give us a spiritual high. And we as a shul, as a Beis Medrash, have a responsibility to create those other opportunities for the women where they will have that spiritual high. But it could be V'igadat alavincha. This is something that's supposed to give the children the energy to be mamshich the Masorah. And like my wife alluded to, I'm going to say it a little bit more sharply. Imir Tzashem, your children grow up. You don't stay, you don't have the mitzvah of chinuch for that long. Imir Tzashem, you should have large, happy families. But you should know that I could tell you now, with our youngest being 14, the time passes quickly. And savor these moments. Savor these moments. As difficult and as challenging as they are, it's not going to stay forever. Eventually, they're going to move out of the house. Hopefully they will. We want that. These years don't stay. And Baruch Hashem, it doesn't stay forever. And so this is your responsibility at this time. Savor it, because I guarantee there's going to come a time in health and happiness that you're going to miss it. And so this is our tafkid. At this particular time, this is our tafkid, and this is what we want to make the most of. And you're right; it could be that the times to have that spiritual highs was when one was single. And Emir Tzashem, you'll have a lot of golden years, and then it will come back. Emir Tzashem, to experience.
I want to say something about that. I think I'm sharing my personal experience. It in a way, I think the avoda of Pesach is actually the most conducive for a mother to connect to, because it's about Mesorah and it's about bringing your children into feeling that connection to the Mesorah. Then the avodah itself is what we're actually doing is part is what we're doing every single day is just that. So it's much easier to feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm tapping into the energy. If the energy of Pesach is engaging our children, the energy of Pesach is bringing them into the connection and feeling like a link that goes back, and they are part of that, then I found it much easier to do that because I'm doing it. Like, engaging with my children is by definition already making that happen. Something that I want to add, just what my husband said earlier, that part of our job, a part of what the Seder night is bringing the children into feeling that Masorah. One can ask, okay, so what is a two-year-old? How in the world do I do that with my two-year-old? And this is where bringing your family minhagim and kind of emphasizing what we do, and even a conversation as simple as, what does your friend do for Karpas? What do you do for Karpas? What do we do for Karpas? What does this the Saba and Safta do for, you know, what we do for what I grew up with is not the same thing that my kids are growing up with, because we do what my husband did. And this is all part of bringing Mesorah and connecting them to Mesorah. For little kids, it's just the simple details about what is our family minhag can be something that's so powerful. And then it just grows. It grows as the children get older.
I have two last points to make about this. Taking the idea that we just said about the goal being education and the Pesach being the ultimate paradigm of education, I want to point out a fascinating paradox that emerges then. The night of Pesach, the way I would describe it metaphorically, is a night in which we go to that gas station of Emunah, and there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of energy that could be put into a family that represents the Masorah that my wife described before, and that's done in these three unique ways. And that is supposed to last enough from year to year, and that builds and builds and builds, as my wife described, in creating the next generation of the Masorah. There's nothing less of what we're doing. But at the same time, you know what's really interesting? The rest of the year, we don't have all those things. The rest of the year, we just say it simply, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We just state fact. We just state a fact. It's a fascinating balance. On the one hand, there's this tremendous excitement, tremendous preparation, and Baruch Hashem, a credit to you that you're coming out and you're thinking about these things and so on. But the rest of the year, there's something else that happens. It's not this fascinating dialogue, dialectic, but there's just a statement of Emunah. And I think this brings us to another very, very important point that I think, based on our background, I don't think we necessarily emphasize this enough. And that is, there are two ways to be mechav, and both of those ways are indispensable. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through our Masorah from Moshe Mitzinai, has built it into our system. And that is, we're mechanech with ideas. We meet the children where they are, things that they're bothered by. We encourage them to become part of the story, and so on and so forth. And then, you might have heard this from me before, but I can't overemphasize this, and then we create holy instincts. Instincts that aren't necessarily rational. Tonight, my mitzvah is not to think and to understand Yetzias Mitzrayim. My mitzvah is just to make a statement, to put into my Ramach Evarim and Shesa Agidim, to say it over and over and over again, that I believe that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took me out of Mitzrayim. And so here we have the amazing power of the Igadta Levincha, the amazing power of the tradition that's passed on from parents to children, is both things are happening constantly and simultaneously. One is an approach that meets the child with their intellect, with their questions, with the dynamic it puts them in the story, and then there is something that's just about, this is the way it is, this is what happened. It's not about question and answers, but it's a statement of fact that we repeat over and over and over and over to ourselves. What am I referring to aside from the theory? I think I've mentioned to you in the past, some of you might have heard this from me, even as the story that I'm about to say, that when you have your little children, they should be well, they should grow, and Mirtz Hashem become part of the Chachmei HaMasorah. I expect nothing less than the Mirtz Hashem. That's the goal of this Beis Medrash. When you have a two-year-old, and they wake up in the morning, you ask them, did you wash? Some will say Netilat Yadayim, some will say Negel Vasser. And sometimes they wake you up way earlier than you wanted to have to ask them the question at the time. You know what's happening? There's something very, very, very profound that's happening. Your child, when you wash Negel Vasser on a toddler or a child that's 5 years old, 6 years old, they have no idea what Tumah and Tahara is. I'm learning in the Kollel Taharos now. I still don't understand half of Tumah v'Tahara. But we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has given us a system of halacha that we teach our children from they're very young that there's something called clean hands and there's something called hands that are Tameh. That those clean hands, not only Tameh in terms of Tameh like Nida and Tameh like Tameh Lameis for a Kohen, but there's also something called, like David HaMelech said, what your hands are, your children, where they're going to earn a living. One of the things that you should be davening for is that their hands earn a living in a way that's honorable, that's honest. We don't only teach that through logic and intellect. We teach it through instincts, holy instincts. One of the things that we're going to be doing in the shul is we're going to be talking to the children that on Shabbos there are certain places that we go and certain places that we don't go. That there are certain places that on Shabbos, is not appropriate. We're going to play a lot of ball on Friday afternoons. We're going to play a lot of ball on Matzai Shabbos. And the kids can play ball in the parking lots and so on and so forth. But in a Midrash that is used for uniform sports, that's not a place for a child on Shabbos. There are certain things that we begin to ingrain in children, and even before they understand the omek of it. And that's what the role of Negel Vasser is. That's what Netilas Yadayim is all about. And so there are certain things that we're going to meet the children with in their intellect, where they are. And then there are certain things that are givens. There are certain things that we, like a hashkafa. This hashkafa we don't need. We don't understand. But this hashkafa we were mekabel from whoever we were mekabel from. This hashkafa we don't need. There are certain things that just are about creating holy instincts. So if we just try to create holy instincts, it's not going to work. Because at the end of the day, if the child's intellect is not being met, if the child's sense of drama is not being met, then ultimately it's not going to last. But on the other hand, if a child is just part of the drama but doesn't create holy instincts, all the ideas in the world don't last. The example that I told in the past was that I was able to know a Holocaust survivor who, to me, epitomized the ultimate of constancy in Avodas Hashem. Rav Anshul Tesler, I was able as a child to grow up with many men who put on tefillin on their numbers. Rav Anshul Tesler was, Zatzal was one of them. And as a teenager, I used to come late, you know, to late minyan, and he had davened in the early minyan, he had already done the Daf Yomi. It was a minyan factory, so he had already gone around to every minyan a few times with the pushka. He was on his second time of the Daf Yomi. And so he was a model to me of consistency and constancy. Rav Anshul Tesler told his grandson that after the war, after his entire family was killed, the first 3 months he was on adrenaline, just survival adrenaline. And then one morning he woke up and it hit him like it hit a bricks. The first time he even hit a ton of bricks, he began to ask, what did God just do? And so he decided he didn't want to daven anymore. Listen to this story. This is really, really something very important. So he said the next, that morning, he decided he's not going to daven. He's too angry at God. So he read the newspaper, and then he started getting hungry. And then he remembered his mother's voice. His mother was said, and I'll say it in the Yiddish in the original, Anshul me'es nisht far daven. We don't eat before we daven. So he couldn't eat. His mother had taught him they can't eat. So he went for a walk and he was getting more hungry. Remember, this is the man who I thought was the ultimate Talmid V'Tadir in Avodas Hashem. At 11 o'clock, he was too hungry anymore. He said he put on the tefillin and he screamed at God. But he davened in that morning because the holy instincts that his mother had put into him, that his mother had ingrained inside of him, was something that stayed with him. So we give our children all these things, and one Pesach night is going to work, and one Pesach night might not necessarily work. But there's something else that we give in Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It's not only Sipur Zechiras Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It's about creating those holy instincts. So all of those things that we do with our children, all of that comes together with the other part that we were talking about tonight. And b'siyata d'shmaya, we should be zelcha that our children one day will truly give over sipur zechiras yetzias mitzrayim to their children, but also give over the instincts of zechiras yetzias mitzrayim. One last point, and that is preparing for Pesach ultimately was not about sending the Jewish women back into servitude. That was not what that's not what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. Yetzias Mitzrayim is, on the one hand, there is these halachos that create the holy instincts, but at the same time, we need to find a way to access our own joy in going out of Mitzrayim, and don't assume that something you have to do something if it's something that is difficult and weighs on you. There are so many times, by the way, I don't answer Shilas in a public WhatsApp forum. And the reason why I don't answer Shilas in a public WhatsApp forum is I find that most of the time, the answer I give to one person is different than the answer I'm going to give to somebody else. Every situation is often different. Every Shila is different. And if there's something that's too heavy that's weighing on you, ask a Shaila. And ultimately remember that it, not only is it not spring cleaning, there are so many things that could be done. If we think about in advance, and Baruch Hashem, we're doing this the night of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, if we spend some time thinking in advance how we're going to prepare, my wife gave a good practical suggestion that might work, it might not work. But if you spend some time really, really thinking about how we're going to go into Pesach, that we'll be able to do all these things, maybe even both, not only to do the sefer to the kids, but also have that personal inspiration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya that we should be able to inspire our children and ourselves, that we'll be zofeh in our golden years to be able to see them passing over the Masorah to their children. A fat kosher v'sameach.
Anybody have any questions?
And when I read a book this year called The Last Slave, written by Robinson Kumwick, is that right? I don't know any of it, but it was very, very powerful. It was written from the perspective of an Egyptian and a Jewish woman during the Tzitzis Mosaim. Also, it's basically the pullback to spoil the sources. And as I'm reading it, I unwell how the proper piece of the scene was when you asked that question about being with the kids, and there's a lot in the book about the experience of the women any time and not being able to give their kids because it's a very powerful book. And so if it's it could really. So there are other aspects of our avodah that we honor daily, we are naming the routines that quarterly. But there, I wanted to ask if there's any. It's not a child's book at all. It's a very graphic of a child you're supposed to read, but are there similar type books? Or are there books written for kids that sort of bring the story from my soul?
Didn't Rabbi Chait put out a...
Rabbi Chait has a nice Haggadah. Part of it is graphic also. Yeah. There are parts of it that are graphic. Right.
Well, look, our history is graphic. It's a little bit... the wrong your hand will play tough dog with an abado. So we have a line over the nor I was. I said carry that wall of with. I guess like I'll like the at the thing come to the Iron Court, the history state, but I don't have it all the does that. With all that to find out the thing to do about it. See if
there is
a hair that stick that was
there is an art scroll. There is an art scroll book, Let My People Go. And that I think that's pretty good. I want to encourage you not to underestimate, even with your children's, the shortcomings of your children's school. Everybody's children's schools has shortcomings because no one is perfect and no school is perfect. Take a look at what they're sending them home with. When you're able to work with a school that it has, and this in general, in Finno, is something very, very important, then your children feel like a certain, they're going in a direction, they're being encouraged in a direction that's consistent, in contrast to the opposite. So take a look at what they had coming home from school, because I think that that's very, very important. We're going the Inyan le-Inyan, we're definitely off topic, but once I made that point, I think it's really, really, really very important to emphasize that your children should not feel that you look down at the institution that they're studying at. And that's something that's very, 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 very important. My father, Hareini Kaparis Mishkova, was one of the most opinionated people that I knew. And my father had very, very profound ideas. And when he disagreed with somebody when we were older, he was very, very clear about his feelings. But he was very careful that when his hashkafos were different than the hashkafos in the school, that he handled that with a tremendous amount of chafla. And my children told me that even when we disagreed with the schools, they felt that it was very, very helpful, that they could never get us to speak badly about the school. If you have things that you're disappointed with the school, my guess is that you're probably right. But leave it, discuss it with your husband. There's an expression: what happens in Uman stays in Uman. In other words, what you discuss with other adults about what the school could be doing better, and so on and so forth. It's important not to, because the moment I think sometimes we underestimate how much every word that we say is taken so seriously by our children. They don't show us how serious they take it, but they do. They do. I once saw this. I was shaken up. I was on a New York City subway, a very simple advertisement. There was the face of a black child with these large, large eyes, just a picture of a black child. And it said, it was about abuse. It said, inside is a sensitive recording device. Inside of every child is a sensitive recording device. And everything that a parent says is recorded inside of the child. And so I think that's something that's very, very important for us to keep in mind. Sometimes, you know, we pride ourselves as being Anshei Emes, as being open, and so on and so forth. Not everything we're feeling always has to be said. And not every sugya has to be really elaborated upon with the children in the right time. When they're ready, truly, truly ready to discuss it, then we'll discuss it with them. So coming back to your question, that was an important polemic. But coming back, by the way, choose the best school for your children. Don't compromise. But wherever they are, and maybe switch that. But wherever they are, at the times that they are, to be careful not to put the institution down, because nothing positive is going to happen when the children hear that. So coming back to your question, I do think that there might be even more resources that they're getting from school, and think about how to use it, because it's amazing. There's something they hear in the class, and then they bring it to the Seder. That's something that could really work. Now, half of the stuff might not be good. 75% of the stuff might not be good. It's not relevant, but there might be something there that you'll be able to capture, that there's a sense that you're educating together with this school. Wishing everybody a chag kosher v'sameach.